screen.
George, you're not in HD, mate. You're not in HD.
Oh, I know it. I know where that storm came in.
Countdown, George.
As you pointed out, can we please be upstanding for a minute's silence for those club men and women who've passed away since our last meeting? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Right then, there is one alteration to the agenda. Number 5, the guest speaker, Paul Maynard MP, rang us up yesterday and said he couldn't come. He was very busy. I don't know if he's flying one of the jets over to Syria or not. Oh, it's poorly. Thanks, Ken. First item, minutes of the council meeting as reported in the May 2017 journal. Can I have a proposer, please? Put your hand up to move it. Yeah. Seconder. All in favour, please show. Any against? Anything arising, that's that done. Number 2, civic welcome by the Deputy Mayor, Gary Coleman. I'd like him to come up to the rostrum. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, George. Thank you, George. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Blackpool. First of all, can I thank you, George, and everybody that we were with on Thursday evening. At the dinner. We were made so welcome at that dinner, and sometimes you go to things and the ambiance you have there, it's truly priceless, and we really do thank you for making us welcome on Thursday. I know my wife, who's not with me this morning, she'd like to pass on her compliments as well for a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. I hope you had a great day yesterday at the trade show. I'm sure that what you want to do after a day at a trade show is wake up early on a Sunday morning and come to a conference. So welcome everybody for being here this morning and getting here. May I welcome you whether you come from the north, the south, east or west. Can I also offer a very special Lancashire welcome to all of you that have come from over the border, from good old Yorkshire. George, Ken. May I thank you for choosing Blackpool for the AGM again. We really do appreciate you coming here each year. As most of you know, Blackpool is Britain's greatest seaside resort. I'm just waiting if anybody's from Brighton or Bournemouth or somewhere. But no, we're okay. No, moving swiftly on. We're so lucky in Blackpool to have two of the country's finest ballrooms at the Tower and the Winter Gardens. Miles of sandy beaches, the Tower, obviously the Winter Gardens, the Sandcastle, I'm sure you've all tried these at some point. Believe me, this afternoon the sandcastle will be great for you. The Illuminations Tramway Promenade, we have Stanley Park that's recently been voted as Britain's favourite park, the zoo, the Grand Theatre, and of course the wonderful Pleasure Beach. Anyway, that's the advert out the way for Blackpool. If you'd like to pass that on, I'd be obliged. We have something like 18 million visitors each year. And again, we appreciate everybody coming to the town. What I do want to say is there are many similarities between Blackpool and CIU clubs. You know, both are built on being places of entertainment, primarily used by the working class. And both, as we've been told, have been more popular in the past. But that doesn't tell you the whole truth. That doesn't tell you the picture at all. Both Blackpool and the CIU clubs are known as being welcoming to everybody. Everybody. Over the years, millions of people have been entertained in both. Many memories have been made over many decades in both. And both are an escape from what are sometimes very harsh realities in the bigger world picture and day-to-day living. One other similarity between Blackpool and CIU clubs as well, of course, is that they were both places for talent to flourish. Many, many people that have become household names on TV and such like cut their teeth in the clubs of the CIU and on the stages at Blackpool, and obviously became world-renowned stars, a number of them, and certainly household names. Over the last 155 years, there have been many changes to both Blackpool and the CIU clubs. And I'm sure there'll be many changes aplenty in the future. And what we have to realise, what we all realise, that I'm a custodian for Blackpool, you good people are custodians for the CIU club. We don't own it, we just do our best to hope we make them progress into the future. What I can say is the world would be a much poorer place without the CIU clubs. As you can probably tell, I'm proud to represent Blackpool, just as I'm sure you're all very proud to represent the CIU. The fact that you are here today shows us what the union means to you. Thank you for all the work that you all do for the CIU. I'm sure you realise how appreciated it is by so many people. May I wish you all a convivial AGM, and thank you again for choosing Blackpool as the home of your conference again this year. May I wish you all a great conference, and if you're off to the Pleasure Beach, enjoy it this afternoon, and have a great day, and thank you again for being in Blackpool this weekend. Thank you, George. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very
much. Now, I know Gary's got a lot of civic duties to perform today, so he's getting off. We can't usually do the normal thing where it goes up and continues because he's going to be in front of us now.
What's the worst that could happen here?
Thank you, Gary. Next item on the agenda, I'll ask Ken Roberts, the chairman of the Standing Orders Committee, to give you information.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Can you hear me?
Mine on?
Well, I see switch at bottom. Content lectin.
It's a good start, wasn't it? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Globe Theatre here in Blackpool for the annual conference. My name is Ken Roberts. I'm the National Executive Member for South Wales and the Monmouthshire Districts of the Union. I'm also Chairman of the Standing Orders Committee. So to begin, I would like to introduce my colleagues on the committee. And if you would please stand up, gentlemen, when your name is mentioned. I'll begin with those on the stage. Our Vice Chairman of the Committee, Mr. Jeff Hewell of the West Midlands Branch. Mr. John Batchelor of the Derbyshire Branch. And Mr. Bob Russell of the Wessex Branch. Also, my colleagues sat in front of the stage, beginning with Mr. Jeff Fisher of the Warwickshire Branch. Mr. Colin Gillett of the Wakefield branch, Mr. Alan Goodwin of the West Midlands branch, and Mr. John Wood of the Wessex branch. So these are the people to approach, ladies and gentlemen, if there are any difficulties or issues with the meeting today. We also have members of head office staff here today to help us, and thank you to them. Can I mention at this point that where the union rules and the standing orders fail to provide for a particular matter raised, then the book entitled ABC of Chairmanship by Lord Citron shall prevail. We are here at a new venue this year, ladies and gentlemen, so please acquaint yourselves with the emergency procedures. We've got emergency exits both sides at the rear of the room, and you've also got the toilets to your left. Can I at this point as well ask, if you've not done so already, to turn any mobile phones off? We don't want any speakers disrupted. So please, I sincerely hope you have a good meeting and a fruitful conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Item 4, President's Address. Good morning, delegates, and welcome to the 155th conference. I would like to thank you for returning me as president for the fifth term. I'll just go off the speech for the moment. This is the first time we've ever been in this room as a venue for the conference, but it might be appropriate if Russia starts bombing us, because it looks like it's good enough to be a bomb shelter. I'll continue. I get the feeling that things have improved regarding clubs in dire trouble. The number of clubs lost to the union is the smallest number for a considerable number of years. In fact, returning to pre-smoking ban levels. The union now needs to start recruiting instead of contracting. Our high was the mid-70s of over 4,000 clubs. The union has been contracting from that figure every year since 1976. No year since then has the union had more clubs at the beginning of the year than at the end of the year. We must start recruiting, and our procedures at head office have been updated to help facilitate this. We may need to do more, and we've been discussing that this week. We also need to sell ourselves that we can offer help and assistance to clubs, as we do now to our member clubs. I would just like to take this moment to acknowledge that some members would like to see financial help for clubs. This has been discussed, and we asked the West Midlands branch to investigate this. I would personally like to see us do something similar to the ACC instead of money lining the pockets of the city. This complete change of union policy needs to be fully investigated. If the NEC just throw money into no-hope cases, we would quite rightly be criticised for not managing the assets of the union prudently. One area the union is helping clubs is the PRS and PPL licences. These special JMC tariffs were fought for in the past, and we are determined to make sure we do not lose them. We won a significant battle at the Copyright Tribunal on the 15th of March 1991, which has been adhered to ever since, which stated that there would be no change in legislation unless agreed by PRS, the CIU and Corker clubs. Some of you may have noticed a new combined licence called the Music Licence. I have received it at my own club just this last week. I hope that's not the bombs coming over. Received it at my own club just last week. We are now talking to PRS through my own club's case to make sure that they are adhering to the judgment of 1991 and protecting our JMC tariff. By the looks of it, it looks like they are. Please let your branch secretary know if you have received the new assessment so we may coordinate our action. You may receive a new assessment, but we won't know if it's like the old assessment unless we compare it. I turn now to the apathy that we have in the whole of society, not least within the club movement. This apathy extends to branches. We have unfortunately seen in recent years the loss of branch secretaries through illness or death, the most recent being Graham Holt from the Warwickshire branch. The problem being the branch falls into turmoil and there are a lack of successes because a lot of branches do not have a full executive and clubs are not turning up to the council meetings. This apathy unfortunately extends to our clubs. How many of you know of long-standing secretaries of a club dying and because of the apathy of the membership, either nobody is prepared to take over or worse still, an inappropriate individual takes over and in both cases the club shuts down. We need to get people involved and do not have the answer for that. I'm sorry, I don't have the answer for that because I'm having the same problem in my own club. We are now, after much work by some of the NEC, launching a new education system more suited to the modern day teaching methods. As I have said, this is not restricted to us alone, it is throughout society. Maybe we need a radical change to our politics and representatives. Maybe we need a chance in the way we are governed to feel that we are our voices being heard. And if this change comes, maybe it will reinvigorate our society and people once again to feel part of society and get involved. Unfortunately, the Brexit debacle just illustrates the complete disconnect our political classes have with the electorate and a large amount of people in this room. We will not give up on trying to educate them with our all-party parliamentary group, and we'll continue to fight for our clubs in the corridors of power. My final point is to ask you to support the NEC to recruit clubs to the union and the benefits you have in being part of an umbrella organisation. Help us to recruit new clubs and bring back into the fold those who have left. The NEC feel the start of this will be to get our trading account into the black and be less reliant on the investments which can then be used in different ways to support clubs. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Right, we'll jump over the guest speaker. Number 6, annual report. Now, you've all had a copy of this for some weeks. And as was set out by one of my predecessors, Terry Watson, does anybody have any questions on the annual report? If they do so, they can come down to the rostrum. Come down, sir, please. If you could state your name and your club, please.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Nisbet, Kenton District Social Club, Northumberland Branch. Just heard the president there on about the help of CIU because the clubs. I don't think so. That's why a lot of clubs are leaving the union. They get no help from the union. When you're trying to get help, they don't want to know. Branches are struggling now. My own branch, Northumberland, we're scoring financially. We've only got a couple of more years left. What we need to do, no matter putting the fees up, we need to get more money back to the branches instead of all going to London, lighting the pockets. We need to get it back to the branches to keep the branches open. A lot of them are closing down. Northumberland will only have another 3 years, I would say at least, the way it's going. But we need more money going into your own branches instead of all going to London. So when you're voting today, the motions shouldn't be on. They want to rise again. We've told them before, don't put the money up. People don't want to pay more money to go into clubs. We're losing them left, right, and centre. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't stand up against these for putting money up and putting money back into the head office, I mean, they're wasting money just on your wages alone. Salary's 425,000. How many staff they got in London for that? Executive expenses, 160,000. Hey, they've got a life and a half, haven't they? Ladies and gentlemen, please vote against these this morning, these motions. We need to get more money into the branches, not into the CIO head office. Please vote to take your money back to your branches for your clubs to survive. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions on the report? Right, can I ask Don Hitchin to come forward to propose the annual report, please? State your name and your club, please, Don.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, fellow delegates. Could I wish you all a very, very good morning? And as you can see, the weather is changing a little bit, so I hope we can have at least a couple of days sunshine to keep us all going. I'm Don Hitchin from the Everwoolen West Yorkshire branch. I would like to formally move the annual report as a record of what has taken place within the CIO over the year 2017. I formally move.
Thank you, Don. We've got a seconder, Len Popple. Len.
Morning, gentlemen, ladies. I'd like to second the annual report. Thank you very much.
What club are you from, Len?
Sorry?
Club, Brighton Street.
Oh, sorry, gentlemen and ladies. I'm Leonard Popple from the Everwoolen branch of the CNIU. I'm the Recreation Secretary. And yeah, I agree with everyone. We are struggling, even with the games, they're dying off. But I do second the annual report. Thank you.
Thank you, Len. Right then, ladies and gentlemen, if there's no more on that, can we have a show of hands? We've been proposed and seconded. All those in favour accepting the annual report, please show. Any against? Right, next item, financial statement. I'll ask Steve Connell, the union accountant, to discuss that.
Mr. President, delegates and guests, once again it gives me great pleasure to present to you the financial report on behalf of your National Executive. Each year when I'm preparing to write this report, I always look back to see what I reported last year, with the intention of trying not to repeat myself too much and hopefully not being too negative. I have to say that it is getting increasingly difficult with each report that I present to you. When one looks at any set of financial statements, in my experience, many will go straight to the bottom of the revenue account to determine if I have resulted in a profit or loss. If there is a profit, an assumption could be made that the organisation is in a secure financial position. So if we look at our financials, statements and go straight to the bottom of the revenue account, we will see that the union has made, as a whole, has made a profit this year of £213,336, compared to a profit of £543,694 in 2016. Therefore, the assumption could be made that the union is in a secure financial position. Job done. I don't need to report anything else, and we can all go home. That, I would suggest, would be totally irresponsible of me. Our financial statements, as you know, are only produced once every 12 months and therefore only give a snapshot of our financial position on a particular day, that being the 30th of September 2017. To determine the true health of our financial position going forward, we must examine these accounts in more detail. In every report that I present to you, I emphasise the importance of concentrating on the line in our revenue account titled Operating Profit or Loss. I look back at previous annual reports to determine the last time that the revenue account had resulted in an operating profit. And it may surprise you to know that it was 11 years ago. That means that we have been making considerable operating losses ever since 2006. If these were the financial statements of your own club, it is quite likely that you would have closed well before now. A club's main source of revenue comes from its bar sales, gaming machine receipts, etc. If your members do not come to the club and contribute to your main sources of revenue, eventually the club will suffer, possibly resulting in closure. Our union's main sources of revenue comes from the sale of our associate and pass cards, together with affiliation fees, which in these accounts we call annual fees. The revenue derived from these three main sources of income, which I often refer to as the lifeblood of the union, have often been declining year on year. This year alone, the revenue has fallen by £78,522, or 6.9%. If our other forms of income were increasing, this wouldn't be as bad, but unfortunately that is not the case. Total income that is attributed to the operating loss, that is recorded within these accounts as turnover, and itemised in Note 5, amounted this year to £1,722,649, down by £158,428 in 2016, or 8.4%. We continue through rigid budgetary control to curtail expenditure where possible, and it is at least pleasing to report that this year saw a reduction of £74,291, or 3.8%, to £1,883,901. With all this taken into an account, the outside observer would be well within their rights to ask the question, how on earth has the union managed to survive for so long? Well, to answer that question, we have to look at the results for those last 11 years since we made the last operating profit. And here comes the scary bit. Since 2011, the union has made operating losses in total of £5,770,966. How on earth have we been able to absorb these huge losses? The answer is quite simple, and it is the huge success of the union's investment policy over that same period. This is now the second year that our financial statements have needed to conform to the Reporting Standard 102, part of the UK Accounting Standards, where our investments are valued at their full market value as opposed to their original cost. The effect of this is that net investment gains this year has resulted in gains of £623,689 compared to gains of £994,374 in 2016. And a breakdown of these gains can be seen within Note 8 to these financial statements. In the same 11-year period, year from 2016 to 2017, the union has benefited from the combination of net gains on the sale of investments, interest received on investments, and the change in value of investments held by £4,364,978. It is worth pointing out that this period includes the stock market crash experienced in 2008. You can see that with the successful results from our investments, we still have not been able to fully overturn the total operating losses of over £5.7 million. However, without these investment gains, the union would be in a very dire financial position now. One area that would have suffered the most would have been the union's 25 branches. You can see from these financial statements that collectively the branches made losses this year of £119,893 compared to losses of £71,077 in 2016. Central funding of branches has increased significantly over the recent years, even to the extent of allowing extremely favourable interest to be earned on their investments held within the Central Investment Fund. None of that would have been possible without the success made from our investments. However, these successes should never be taken for granted. The global economy is, as you know, going through some very turbulent times. Suffice it to say that if I produce a set of financial statements with a period end of today, it would certainly not be as good as those before you. It would only take 2 to 3 years of continued operating losses coupled with negative investment returns to seriously damage the union's finances. If we look at the union's balance sheet, that observer that I referred to earlier, who made the assumption that the union's finances were healthy due to a bottom line profit on our revenue account, would probably make the same assumption after reading that we now have net assets of £8,294,782 compared to £8,082,846 in 2016. But for reasons that I have explained, that would indeed be an irresponsible assumption. When I was looking back over the annual reports from previous years to see when we made the last operating profit, it was noticeable that once amended for today's requirement to show investments at market value, we had net assets in total virtually identical to now. That tells us that in 11 years, the union's finances have resulted in zero capital growth. And once adjusted for inflation, negative capital growth. It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone to learn that over that same 11-year period, we have lost just over 1,000 clubs. The disappointing part is that 1,081 clubs left or closed, whilst only 75 clubs have joined the CIU. Apart from what can be done in the immediate future to improve income and reduce expenditure, for the long-term future of the union, I believe every effort must be made to attract more clubs to the union. In this respect, the next 11-year period will be crucial to determining our future. Looking at the results of our 25 branches financial statements, which, as you know, due to self-accounting, sees them currently being independently audited, it should be reported that this year we experienced various problems, least not the poor health of one of the main branch auditors in getting their accounts finalised prior to their inclusion in these consolidated accounts. In fact, prior to going to press for the production of this annual report, we had still not received the accounts on behalf of our Kent branch, and were therefore unable to complete the financial information on their behalf, which is seen on page 74 of the report. I can report that those accounts, and therefore all branch accounts, have now been submitted. And I can also report that your national executive will shortly be discussing these issues to ensure that this doesn't occur again. In conclusion, Mr. President, I would like once again to take this opportunity of thanking Brian Howarth, our auditor, for his expert advice given throughout the year. And finally, I wish you every success in the future management of your clubs. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Steve. I've got a proposal for the financial statement now, Chair.
Morning, Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, and ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to propose that we accept that financial statement. Thank you.
Howard, just give them the club that you're from.
Apologies, West Yorkshire, Thornhill Briggs.
Thank you, Howard. And we've got a second, Dan Capewell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan Capewell, Secretary Pitsil Victory Club, Stoke-on-Trent, West Midlands branch. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, fellow delegates, I formally second the motion for the adoption of these accounts. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we haven't had any written questions on the accounts. I believe that's correct, Steve?
No, it
hasn't. There hasn't been any questions on the accounts. One gentleman's already mentioned it when he mentioned the accounts when we did the annual report. So I'm taking it there's no more questions on it. So can we have a those in favour of accepting the financial report, please show. Any against? That's carried. I now call on Brian Howarth for the auditor's report. Item 8. Please, Brian.
Mr. President, delegates and guests, it gives me great pleasure to be offered the opportunity to address you all here at your 2018 Annual General Meeting. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Brian Howarth, and it is our audit firm, BH Accountancy Limited, which has had the privilege of being the statutory auditors of the Working Men's Club and Institute Union Limited, a role which we have held for several years now. The National Executive Committee of the Union have asked me today, as someone who is both external and independent to the Union, to give you my own personal thoughts on the financial statements of the Union over recent years and the financial projections for the future. It was not my intention to simply stand here and repeat everything that your union accountant, Mr. Connell, has just reported to you. However, in listening to his report, I have to say that he has addressed all of the key points in great detail and in an accurate manner. I will therefore re-emphasise those key points briefly whilst adding in some comments of my own, if I may. I would like to speak to you about the union's financial statements over a period of time, rather than focusing on individual 12-month periods, and to identify the relevant trends that I see each year. As you are aware, of course, the union can essentially categorise its entire financial activities into two main blocks. Block A, if I may use the expression, shall represent the normal trading activities of the union with its members, clubs. The other block, Block B, represents the supplementary income generated from a portfolio of quoted investments which comprise dividends and investment income from those investments owned by the union, together with capital gains once they are disposed of. You will notice that I've used the word supplementary to describe the Block B income, for that is indeed what it is meant to represent. The National Executive Committee have for many years been trying to have the Block A trading income to being self-sufficient, with the Block B investment income being a bonus. Unfortunately, over the years that I've been involved in working with the union's financial statements, I have noticed that this has simply not been possible. The Block B investment income has not supplemented the trading activities of the union at all. In actual fact, it would be more accurate to say that they've bailed them out each time. This means that the financial results that the union generates each year is heavily dependent on the annual performance of the stock markets. I believe that it is nothing more than pure good luck for the union that over the last few years, the stock markets have performed quite well, indeed better than most people have predicted. But the stock markets are very volatile, and I do not believe that they should be relied upon to shore up finances for any type of organisation, with the union being no exception to that rule. We live in very uncertain times, and the stock markets are incredibly sensitive to both large-scale events and others that initially seem more minor in nature. For example, I was watching the news bulletins a few weeks ago, and I recall that on this particular occasion, the newsreader was describing the fact that stock markets around the world had fallen, all because of a speech that had been given surrounding some aspects of intended foreign policy by a certain gentleman from the United States of America. I believe his name is Donald Trump. Thankfully for us all, I doubt very much if my speech today will have such an impact. However, all joking aside, of course, there is another major event looming for us all, which goes by the name of Brexit. This is now less than 12 months away. How will the stock markets react to this? There remains great doubt at present as to whether our government can agree a favourable deal with our European neighbours, or indeed any kind of deal at all. Again, how will the stock markets react to this? Let us not just look forward, but also consider the past for historical examples of these types of things. The so-called credit crunch of a few years ago. This was an event involving the near collapse of the entire UK banking sector that nobody seemed to see coming. Not the analysts, not the auditors of the banks, I'm ashamed to say, not the banks themselves, nobody at all. Such an unanticipated event sent shockwaves throughout global economies, and the stock markets reacted accordingly. It is no coincidence that in the 2007 to 2008 financial statements of the Union, it reported total recognised losses for that year of over £875,000. And in its 2008-09 financial statements, it reported equivalent losses of over £1.15 million. In other words, the Union lost over £2 million in just 2 years. You can see, therefore, how your National Executive Committee are now urgently looking to protect themselves against events which they simply cannot influence. They have no power to prevent a potential second credit crunch, no power to influence the outcome of Brexit, no power to rein in Mr. Trump, and so on. And yet all of these events, and others like them, indirectly affect the Union greatly through the stock markets. The questions we all need to answer are, number one, how will the stock markets perform in the future? Number two, what will be the Brexit impact on the stock markets? Number three, what other events are waiting for us all around the corner? Of course, there is nobody in this room today who knows the answers to any of these questions, and hence the dilemma that is repeatedly faced by your National Executive Committee when forecasting its finances. I do know that your National Executive Committee have decided to focus on those areas that they are better able to influence, my Block A trading income example I mentioned earlier. They are looking again at making that particular area of the Union much more self-sustaining so that they are not reliant on events wholly outside of their control to hopefully bail them out. I have seen over a number of years efforts being made to cut costs, for example, which has been quite successful. I'm also aware of other plans to look to boost income streams wherever possible through a series of proposals to the members for their consideration. However, I do note also that much of the good work undertaken thus far has been lost as the membership of the Union itself has decreased at a faster rate. Please do not misunderstand me. I know only too well the financial difficulties faced by everybody in this room. In addition to the Union itself, I have personally audited a number of its branches and also prepare accounts for a number of the member clubs of the Union. I know from my own personal friends and family, who are members of clubs themselves, the issues faced by themselves and their own clubs. I'd like to think, therefore, that I have seen the current financial climate at all levels of the Union. In short, I think I can best describe the future plans of your National Executive Committee to be, if I can use the phrase, attempting to fix the roof while the sun is still shining, rather than waiting for the storm. It is, in my opinion, a sensible and indeed necessary course of action. I reminded you of a piece of history a little while ago whereby the Union lost over £2 million in just 2 years. If those days were to suddenly return, which is not as remote a possibility as one might think, then the Union would have a remaining lifespan of approximately 8 years. That would destroy over 150 years of CIU history to the detriment of us all, and it is crucial, of course, that this not be allowed to happen under any circumstances. I am sure that with the continued efforts of everybody in this room today, You can all assist in ensuring the continued survival of the Union to the benefit of all. In conclusion, Mr. President and ladies and gentlemen, I would like to close by reiterating again my appreciation for the opportunity to address you all today. I hope my own independent analysis has been both useful and informative to you all, and I certainly appreciate your time, attention and patience as I have delivered my report. Finally, of course, I would also like to wish you all every success in the future management of your clubs. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll move on to item 9, the motions for consideration. I'll just do a little explanation, because a number of people asked me yesterday at the trade show. Motion 1 requires only a simple majority, because the reference to the membership has a minimum figure in it and a maximum figure in it. The 70p doesn't go over the maximum figure. Therefore, that's only a simple majority because it's not actually changing the rule. Motion two requires a two-thirds majority because it's mentioned in the rule that it's £75 and that's the figure we're wanting to change. Later on in the rule book, it does say about VAT at the current rate. So if VAT were lower, it'd be £75 less 15% VAT or £75 plus 25% VAT. Motion 3, the VAT rule doesn't apply to this one because the rule states it's £3.50 inclusive of VAT. So a pass card is an associate card is £2.92 plus 58 pence VAT. And it includes it in the £4. So that's why that requires the two-thirds majority. I hope that's now understood for the simple majority and the two-thirds majority. By the way, there's 363 delegates have attended today. Motion 1, reference to the club's representative membership fee to be increased from 50p to 70p per member. Proposer, Les Epworth.
Good morning all, my name is Les Epworth, CMD. I'm the NEC member for number 5 area also, and the branch secretary for Ebbing Woolen and Huddersfield. The reason they're asking for this increase is, as the gentleman said earlier, branches are struggling. All branches are struggling. We've already had 4 branches that have closed due to lack of funds. If you look at your back of your report, you can see there's another 3 or 4 branches who have got very little funds and will close shortly unless they get an increase. This increase from 50 pence to 70 pence will enable local branches to get extra funding and stay open. As you know, your first port of call is always your local branch, whether it be for information or whether for CI goods, new goods, or anything on that line. People will tell you in my branch, I'm available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. So please vote to increase your membership to 70p from 50 pence, as this will definitely keep your branches going. And I vote yes to this amendment, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Les, Bob, Russell's going to second it.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Bob Russell, Solent Social Club, also the president of the Wessex branch and NEC representative for the Wessex and Western Counties branches. You have all heard what the union accountants had to say and the union auditor. Les has put forward the case for the national executive, and so I would like to formally second this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Now then, I'll take two opposing the motion, please, to speak. And if there is any in favour of it, I'll take some of them as well. Yes, sir. Can you give your name and your club, please? Okay.
Good morning, delegates. David Coles, Secretary, Wickersley Social, South Yorkshire, speaking against this motion. We've just heard that clubs are closing. Clubs are struggling to survive. I can't believe the audacity of the executive in putting a motion of this nature to insult you people who are delegates of these clubs. They don't want a 5% increase. They don't want a 10% increase. They want a 40% increase. My own club pays around 700 quid already on this, and they're asking us for another 300. It's another nail in the coffin of clubs who are borderline. It's not on. Do they care about the clubs or do they care about themselves? Well, I urge you to reject this proposal, kick it out, don't vote for it, and look after your clubs.
Thank you, Des.
Thank you, Mr. President. Delegates, good morning. I think I've heard it all today here, delegates. Brexit, the President of the USA, as the big problem for our problems. The problem for us are the people sitting on the stage. Not Donald Trump. You couldn't make it up, to be honest. I haven't spoken, delegates, in 2 years here since I was elected as a city councillor on the biggest local authority in Europe, and I have to say, my views don't represent that local authority. Where was Donald Trump and Brexit 5 years ago when I stood on the platform here at conference and asked this national executive to consider support, small financial support, to keep clubs going, very similar to what credit unions might provide? 5 years has gone past, and they're asking the West Midlands to look at this issue. It's an absolute disgrace, conference. We need support for clubs financially. We don't need to be risking our finances on the stock market. You know, what are we about? We're sometimes as bad as these bankers who we blame. We're no different. There's no enthusiasm, conference, from the people sitting on this rostrum behind me to in a meaningful way, support clubs by helping them financially, to keep the bogeymen, which are the bankers and the breweries, from getting the deeds to these clubs. The deeds to these clubs should stay with the clubs, should stay with the family of the CIU, should have financial support. I have no thirst to support this national executive in these proposals, and I would urge you to do the same.
Thank you. Des, I don't think you give your name of your club, please.
Sorry. Des Flood, for the record. Newcastle, CIU, Birmingham, West Midlands.
Thanks, Des. Have we got anybody talking in support of this motion?
Did somebody say they were?
No. Come on, Dan.
Dan Capewell, Pitsill Victory Club, West Midlands Branch, delegate number 353. Mr. Chairman, I hadn't intended to vote for this motion because I thought it would go through automatically, to be honest. When I saw that it was a simple majority, I thought, well, that was odd, because I remember when it went up to 50 pence and that was the maximum. So I looked it up and on the website, and back in 2014, you passed a motion to increase that range, and it said in that motion you were told that it will be necessary to increase these fees, so will you vote for this motion? And you all voted for it. So presumably even then you accepted that these fees would increase. I think there's no doubt that the union does need more money, and the question is, where should it come from? In my own view, I could never understand why the union relied on your members to pay for the increases rather than its own members. Now, its own members are the clubs. We are the members of the union. So if the union needs an increase in income, it should come from the clubs, which is why My own club and myself fully support this motion. And I would point out, when we talk about increase, if I think we probably are like your clubs, where our membership's gone down year on year. So when we talk about an increase, we're paying less now than we did 5 years ago. So this 20 pence increase, it won't be an increase of what we used to pay, it'll probably take us back to what we used to pay. So, you know, let's put it in perspective what the increase is. So, Mr. Chairman, I fully support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. I haven't got any more to speak on this subject. I think we've got the feeling. I think we can take the vote now. There'll be a card vote, ladies and gentlemen. So can I ask the tellers to get in position? Don't fall down the steps, will you? We need a proper count. So we've got it on record. Right. And I can't see everybody in the room anyway. Those in favour of the motion, please show. Are we all counted? The next one will take a bit longer. Those against the motion, please show. Now, don't get your arms tired. Let them count them, and then we'll have proper figures. I can see it's lost, but we'll put proper figures down. We all counted. Tell us all counted. I'll let them get up to the scrutineers to count them. While they're counting them, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go on to motion two. That is reference to the minimum annual fee payable by clubs to the union be increased from £75 per club to £100 per club. That's plus VAT, whatever the prevailing rate is. Mr. John Tobin.
John Tobin, National Vice President and the North West Metropolitan Branch Secretary. A very good morning, delegates, and welcome to this room of sunshine. And on my left, I'm getting music from Magic Roundabout, and every so often you can hear that noise. I think it's a bloody ghost train going through the other end of that tunnel over there. Anyway, this is a very small amendment. I can see how the reaction has been already, but I think this one is pretty fair. It's a very minority of clubs who paid the £75, and this be increased to £100. I mean, that's a pretty reasonable rate to be a member of the union today, because they will get that £100 back on their PRS and the agreements that we've made with them, and the reduction of the tax on the Performing Rights Society. So I do feel that this is fairly straightforward. It's not going to bring in an enormous amount of money. And listening to the two accountants, like the prophet of doom, that monies are not there. And I appreciate our friend earlier that spoke, that it is difficult today. The clubs are suffering. We're not getting enough bums on seats, of course, and that affects the branches and the national executive as a whole. So we've really got to do something for the future, for our survival as a whole. I mean, 1,400 clubs now against 4,200 some 25 years ago. That's a massive drop. And we can see that happening all over the country. But for £100, it's a great organisation that we are. As I said the other night, we're unique in this country. We're unique in Europe. And I'd go as far as saying we're unique as far as the world is concerned. So I'm asking you to agree to this increase from £75 to £100. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Bob Russell, to formally second.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Still Bob Russell, still from the Solent Social Club, President of Wessex Branch, and representing the Wessex and Western Counties branches on the NEC. Once again, John Tobin, as you all know, your Union Vice President, has put the motion to you very succinctly, and so it only falls on me to formally second the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Now, have we got anybody to speak against this motion? Anybody? Well, I don't think we need to take a response for those in favour. So, can I ask the tellers to get into their position, please? Making them work today. Now, this needs a two-thirds majority to get passed. So, those in favour, please show. Keep your hands up while they count you and put you on the sheets, please. We all done? Are we all counted? Right, all those against the motion, please show. All counted. I'll let you go away and start counting them up. We're going to motion three. Proposer. Are we all? I'll let them get settled down now. Right, I'll settle down. Right, motion three, reference to the cost of the associate and pass card being increased from £3.50 to £4 inclusive of VAT. Jeff Ewell. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. President. My name is Jeff Ewell, and I'm the president of the West Midland Branch. And good morning, fellow delegates. You would have heard from the union's accountant and read in the annual report of the operating loss over the period October 16 to November to September 17 was some £635,279, of which the branch's losses were some £192,025 of that total. However, due to our investment strategy, the gains from them more than compensated for the operating losses. Although, as you are aware, investments can be volatile. However, this year, as in the past, this volatility hasn't caused any undue concerns in this regard. we've had a long and detailed discussion on how we could improve our income and came to the decision, as a stopgap measure, that at this AGM we would submit a motion for your approval. We are aware that if this motion gets the required majority, it would not come into force until January 2019 and would not in any way solve the problem, but may ease it. It is therefore my pleasure as a National Executive Member to propose the motion to increase the associate card and yearly pass card, each from £3.50 including VAT to £4 including VAT. And I look forward to your support for this motion.
Thank you, Jeff. Now, seconder, Jack Hockey. Where's Jack?
Fellow delegates, Jack Hockey, branch secretary of the West Midland branch, and also the Welcome Working Men's Club secretary. I second this motion. The branches are going through a lot of problems, and I think one way of helping the branches is to put this up. So I formally second this motion. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Anybody talking against the motion? Yes, please come along. Just give your name and your club, please. Thank you.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm like a bad penny. Alan Nisbet, Kettering District Social Club, Northumberland branch. You've heard all the waffle going on this morning. I'd like to thank the accountants and the auditor. But they haven't touched on what I've been saying for years. They come to Blackpool, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, weighing and dying everybody, wasting money. Probably £50,000 it's cost for the weekend. It's money out of our money, and that's the losing. Now, if you look in your book, their figure's not mine. Wages and salaries. Can you tell us how many staff we've got down in London, please? Because 425,000 for wages and salaries. There's something sadly wrong. Wasting money. Executive committee fees, £160,000. Living life, loads, man. Don't vote for this. Vote against it. And what I want for the next time is I'm going to get a letter sent down to them that we need more money to the branches and not to them. Just send 10% to them, whatever we collect in our own branches, send 10% to London. We should be cutting down their costs, not putting the monies up. We're paying enough as it is. We're losing clubs left, right and centre. Our club alone, the treasurer wants to pull away because we're getting no help out of them. We were nearly bust in 2003. We had £95 in the bank, owed £38,000. Since then, we've turned it around, a new committee. We've got over £1 million turnover in there. We've got the club back. No help off these. These wouldn't help it down London. You might as well tore them a brick wall. So I don't know why we're paying money into them. Please vote against it, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it to your branches.
Thank you, Alan. I would just like to correct you on a couple of points, because one of the points you brought up was £50,000 it costs a conference, and it's all those on expenses, having a free doing everything. £24,000 of it is for branch executive members to delegates to attend this conference, not the national executive. You were told that at Northumberland Council meeting. And also, the expenses that the National Executive are on, I remember when I first started on, and most of us started on, there were 29 National Executive members, and the expenses were over £300,000. It's now gone down to, I think, £160,000, because there's only 15 of us. So we've cut down ourselves, and we've increased funding to the branches, because a lot of us are on the National Executive, our branch secretaries. And the branches, at the annual fee up to about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, got only 25% of the annual fee. And you'll see in the book now, we put that up to 50% because we do believe in the branches, because the branches are the area that the member clubs go to. They have strict instructions at head office not to give advice out. It's for the branch to give the advice. So we do support branches, and there's reason that a few of them are in difficulties is the simple fact we have less clubs and less people buying the funding, which is annual fees and pass cards for the branch. So I would just like to correct people on that assumption. Right then. Next, anybody else want to talk against? Yes, come along, please.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, delegates, president, branch exec, main exec. My name is Brenda McMahon from Brayfield on the Green, working men's club in Northampton. I have voted, as my committee wanted, on the increase to £100 and also the increase that was in motion one. However, this increase on the associate cards is going to kill us. The thing is, we have a terrible job now to get people to buy associate cards, and we're selling them at £3.50. It got to the point where we changed our rules and made it compulsory for anyone who joined our club to become an associate member. I think this is more the way forward in a year or two's time, rather than raising the money now, and I think it would be far too expensive, and I think you'd get a lot of people just not bothering to join. Why do it when you can perhaps have friends in the area, go in as a guest or whatever? You've got all these other ways you can get into clubs without buying these associate cards. And the members aren't daft. They know this. But please don't vote for this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Anybody want to talk in favour? I think we'll just take the vote now. Are the tellers ready? We'll do a proper count on this as well, then we've got all the figures. All those in favour of the motion, please show. Who's turning me off? Oh, you're sneaking out for a seat. Well, I think we counted them. We all counted them, yeah. All those against, please, show. All counted. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are a pure democracy anyway. I'll let the tellers then move the papers over. While we're waiting for the results, the General Secretary is going to give us an address and enlighten us, I'm sure. Thank you, Ken.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you all attended and enjoyed the trade show yesterday and gained a little information which will go some way to helping your club. Due to circumstances beyond our control, we had to move the trade show at short notice, but I'm sure you will agree that the venue is quite spacious and suits our needs and those of the exhibitors. I wish to thank you all for attending today, as unity and numbers mean strength. And together we hope to stem the tide of club closures with a spirit of help and combined knowledge to leave a legacy for our successors in this great movement. Got to inform you, our office manager, Stephen Golden, is at the moment extremely ill unable to attend conference, but remains in London working on our behalf. We have developed an intensive and hopefully informative education programme, which will go a long way to provide a platform of learning which will teach both new and experienced clubmen and women the basics of club management without it being too complicated. We are all subject to the law of the land, and this dictates the need to pay dues and demands to HMRC and other bodies. There are plenty of accountants out there, no offence, Brian, that do it for you, but of course this involves costs, sometimes at rather ridiculous amounts, when it is still relatively an easy task for a layman to perform at minimal costs. That said, the government seem hell-bent on making things more difficult with their plans to introduce what is called making tax digital. We have heard there may be exemptions from this for private members' clubs. As this has already been postponed once, we will continue to lobby Parliament to ensure all our clubs are exempt from the scheme in at least part or all of the legislation, as in our opinion, this would be another huge cost placed on clubs, which we would have to bear in an already costly area of our business. Going back to education, when the new programme is available, which will be very shortly, I hope at least one person from every club in the union will make the effort to attend at least one of the courses, with a view to making our clubs the envy of the some 16,000 clubs in this country. As you will no doubt be aware, the PRS and PPL are merging with a plan to reduce the back office costs of the two bodies, allegedly, which we will ensure does not lead to ridiculous cost increases for our clubs. Rest assured, we will have representation at all levels once the merger has been implemented, and we will scrutinise all tariffs and plans for the future company. The union is also suffering through closure of branches due to various circumstances, not least running out of funds. The only way to prevent these losses becoming an everyday occurrence is to support your local branch. Through your branch secretary and executive members, and trade with the branch for your club's requirements. We can help ourselves. Most branches offer the facility to trade with them for items such as bingo tickets, raffle tickets, etc., which are usually priced at a reasonable amount. Couple this with the expert advice you will get, you'll go somewhere to help, some way to helping each other and keeping our branch structure. How many suppliers are capable or even interested in giving you valuable advice when needed? We have a structure second to none in our union, and hopefully we will be able to keep this in the future. I feel I must once again remind all committees to consult the club's rulebook when dealing with its members. I of course refer to our valuable arbitration service, which is in place to keep clubs and its members from the clutches of the legal profession and their associated costs. As the officer in charge of the arbitrations, I feel it is my duty to point out the pitfalls of getting the initial disciplinary case correct. When a member feels he or she has been unjustly dealt with by their committee, they have a right, subject to your club's rule book, to make a claim to arbitration. I bring this to your attention because when things go wrong, the union usually is blamed, when in a lot of cases it is either because the club has not followed procedure or not been fair and reasonable in their deliberations. Please remember, the union provides lectures on suspensions and expulsions with a view to your committee getting it right on all occasions, and not get the feeling that the union has let you down when an arbitration decision is made for the appellant. An arbitration decision made correctly will stand in a court of law if challenged. Thank you for listening, and rest assured whichever way the decisions made earlier went, you can rely on the best advice from your branch secretary, who should be the first port of call in the event of questions on law and administration in your clubs. And as I've said before, if he does not know the answer, he knows a man or a woman who does know the answer. Such is the design of our great organisation. Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, waiting for the result. I was counting all the against votes, taking them a long time. I'll just announce the conference next year. Now, we keep trying to do it away from Grand National, but every time we move away from Grand National, they then move the Grand National to us, so I don't understand it. So, Grand National's on the 6th, so we're having the 13th of April next year. Easter is the week after. So, put that in your diary, 13th of April. And watch this space, see if the Grand National changes again. Oh, we'll just have to twiddle his thumbs a minute then. Sorry. Yeah, crazy.
See what's taking him so long.
You all right, Les? Motion 1, 467, against 271, that fails. Motion 2, there must have been 10 people sneaked in since we did first count. 450 against 223, which is 10 more than I announced of the delegates attending, but people can come in when they want, so that might be after we've done the counter then. And motion 354, 280 against. So all motions have been defeated, ladies and gentlemen, this year. And I've told you it's 13th of April next year, so I declare the meeting closed. Please be careful as you're going out, because there's a lot of... If you're a bit hard on your legs, there's a ground entrance at the side instead of going up and down steps, if you haven't seen it already.